Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are wrapping up our first full week of this new year. You did it. You made it through. Well, yeah, you have the weekend, but you made it through the first week, full week of 2026. Congratulations. I hope it was a fruitful week. And I hope that, like me, you're feeling convicted in the power of the Spirit. You're feeling convicted about how does a true believer begin to live? We've made it through a couple verses of Romans chapter 12 talking about love being genuine. And I know, friends, for me, I've been very convicted of how often my love is not sincere, how often I'm loving out of a place of wanting to be seen, how often I love from my own ego of saying, like, ooh, like, I'm loving and I hope that people see how I'm loving, or why am I not being congratulated for loving in this way, or all of these different things. And Christ is working in us and transforming in us, so we're not discouraged, but we are convicted. And here's a distinction that I want to make, because we talked earlier about not spiraling into self-condemnation and condemnation from the enemy. But at the same time, I think we think when God convicts us, it's always going to feel good. The truth is it will always feel encouraged, but we still are egotistical and we're still human. And so sometimes conviction doesn't feel good. Have you ever had somebody correct you and they're completely right and you then get extremely defensive? Like, I remember one time I was just telling this story at a Bible study. I was talking to a friend on the phone, one of my best friends, and I was just talking about a situation, and she was like, just like, be careful that you're not like, I think you're a little bit on the line of like going to gossip instead of just like venting and telling how you feel. And she totally called me out like nicely for gossiping, basically. And I literally just hung up the phone on her. Like, I just hung up the phone, and my instinct just be like, I am literally not doing that. Like, no, I'm just venting to you my feelings. Can no one say their feelings anymore without getting judged? All this kind of stuff. And that was my instinct, because it didn't feel good. It like tore down this thing of like, oh, like, does my friend now have a bad image of me? It didn't feel good for someone to call me on that, but I needed somebody to call me on that. So I took an hour and I received it, and then I called back and I was like, I'm so sorry, you know, like, you're right, all this kind of stuff. But sometimes conviction can feel really pressing. It can feel like, oh my gosh, I need to defend myself, I need to react back. And I think as we're going through some of this stuff, to really allow the Holy Spirit to convict and to not get defensive. And just because we're feeling a sense of defensiveness, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be hearing that. That doesn't mean that automatically that it's condemnation. And I think we're living in a culture that when anyone says anything we don't want to hear, we're like, what do you mean? No, like, no. And we push it away. And we're like, I have to cut you off, or I just have this negative energy in my life. And one of the ways, friends, that we actually can tell whether or not we're growing in Christian maturity is, do we have people in our lives who are able to speak into this? Because oftentimes we have a lot of blind spots. And so it takes reflection by you and I. It takes me reflecting in my own heart. But it also takes me opening my life up to my friends and family enough so they can see, like, hey, you're actually like not doing well in this area. Or actually, the way that you snapped at that person, like, I saw that and I know you're going through this, but like, that was unkind, you know, or these different things of behavior and helping each other grow in Christian behavior. So as we finish out this next section, that is a difficult section to do. And what Paul is going to put before us is impossible, but we have to yield to the Lord. Is to say, yes, conviction and condemnation are different, but conviction doesn't always feel good. And I want to make sure that I'm sitting in the conviction of the Lord and not running away just because I don't like how it feels. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into God's word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Lord Jesus, come and renew us on this last day of this week that we have together. Convict us, help us grow in love, give us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are, as we're truly loving, not so that we can condemn ourselves, but so you can fill in the gaps, Lord Jesus. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to start where we left off. Rejoice in your hope. This is 12:12. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in your tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is where Paul begins to get very, very specific. And you'll notice Paul isn't going to say, if you feel like it, or if it's up to your own discernment, or here's what I do, this is my suggestion. He's saying, this is what Christians do. This is the Christian life. Friends, if we want to live some other life than this life, we can go ahead and live it, but it is not the Christian life. This is what Christians do. So he's saying, rejoice in your hope, be patient in suffering, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints. This is one of the things that defined the early church. They shared everything in common and they contributed to each other's needs. They contributed to each other's needs. And I'm not saying that you need to share everything in common with your neighbors. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul is saying here. There is a discernment here, but I think there's an invitation to say, how am I helping to provide for the needs of others? What does my tithing look like? How am I giving of my time? Practice hospitality. Am I inviting people regularly into my home? Am I loving them through bringing them into my home? Is my spirit hospitable and welcoming? Is my heart a place where people can come? He continues out. We're going to just fly through some of this stuff because it's so good and so important. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. So not only does he say practice hospitality, he's basically going to say practice hospitality with those who persecute you. Not those who don't like you, those who persecute you. And remember, Paul was the chief persecutor. What did he do? He stoned Stephen. He was in charge of killing the Christians. Persecution, being put in prison. This is what they're talking about. They're not talking about like someone at work not liking you. They're not talking about someone disagreeing with your point of view and you both agreeing to disagree. Persecution. It's what Nigerian Christians are experiencing. And we do experience persecution here. It's just a different kind of persecution. And so he's not saying, okay, light persecution, you know, the persecutors that are only gossiping about you, bless them. But the persecutors who are putting you in prison, you don't have to bless them. No, those who persecute you, there are no distinctions. Bless them. And the thing that makes this so hard, friends, is most of us, we maybe can get out of a place of hating our persecutors and into a place of neutrality. But God is not calling the Christian. He is not calling you to a place of neutrality regarding the people who are persecuting you. He's calling you to a place of love. He's not saying have no feelings about them or remove yourself from them. Or never think about them, or just wipe them from your mind. They maybe need boundaries in your life, so they're not treating you poorly. But he's not saying be neutral towards them. He's saying bless them. It's active. Go out of your way to speak blessing over them. What is the father's blessing towards the prodigal son who comes home? He gives him the ring and the robe. He gives him the father's blessing. Everything that is mine is yours. That's the father's blessing. He's saying, do that with those who persecute you, those who hate you. Don't just be neutral on them. Bless them. Love them. Desire good for them in your heart. For those who have hurt you, actually pray that people would love them anyway, that people would never find out what they did to you, that they would grow, that their finances would grow, that their business would grow, that the things that they're hoping for, that they would receive the desires of their heart. How hard is it to pray that somebody who hurts you would receive the desires of their heart? It's literally impossible. And this is why we need God. This is why we need him, because without him, we want to curse those people. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We carry one heart and one mind. When people are weeping, we're not saying that's your problem. We're weeping with them, and we're rejoicing with those who rejoice. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. This is interesting because so oftentimes we really do associate with the people oftentimes that only we want to associate with. Whether we're like, oh, we like the same things, or they're pretty cool, these are the people that I want to come. Oh, this person's kind of awkward, or they're hard to make conversation with, or they're not the cool people in the church or whatever, and I don't really want to associate with them. How much are we with the poor? When we're in rooms, are we looking for the person that has no one? Oftentimes in our ministry with high schoolers, we talk about the one. Who's the one that comes in that no one's talking to, that looks the loneliest? Who's the one that's hard to talk to? Who is the one? Are we looking to go with the lowly? Are we looking to be with those who are despised and rejected? Or are we always looking for a seat to be associated with those who are important and those who people see as good? Are we associating with the lowly? Are we seeking out the lowly? Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Paul's getting at here, he's saying, Christians, like, live public lives and people are looking at you. What is noble to do? If possible, so far as it, I know I'm rushing through this, but I want to get to this in the next few minutes. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. We cannot control other people, but Paul is saying, have you done everything in your means to make peace with this person? Even as I'm saying this, I'm convicted about a situation in my life where I've done everything in my means to still be annoyed at this person, where I've done everything in my means to still be frustrated. And at a certain point, I can't control the other person. I can't control what people want to do. And we just have to let go and say, what is within my means? And so often our own bitterness and our own desire for what we want the other person to do stops what God is calling us to do. Have you done everything in your means to make peace with everybody? Now get this. Behold, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Behold, it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. This is so opposite of the world. The world says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And friends, this is so hard to do. Jesus is saying, do not worry about the ways you've been harmed, because I will bring justice. It's not your job to bring justice. It's mine. And I will bring justice. And in the meantime, don't just sit there stewing. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. The one who has come after you, give him food, give him drink. Honor your enemies. Friends, again, this is so convicting, because what Paul is saying, what Jesus is saying, this is not optional. It's the way that the Christian functions. And again, we're not going to be perfect, but this week we want to look inside our hearts as we start this new year to saying, am I trying? I know so often for me, I make no attempt to love my enemy. I make no attempt to bless those who persecute me. I only want to bless those who love me. And so God is convicting us. Maybe he's convicting you to look inside your heart and be empowered in the Holy Spirit to begin to walk in transformative love. Join us again next week. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.